Support for Kansas City Today comes from Grandma's Office Catering, delivering made-from-scratch hot meals and individual boxed lunches for fast distribution to offices, warehouses, and factories, even on nights and weekends. Details are at grandmascatering.com.
This is Kansas City Today. I'm Nomi Inugia-Dean. Today is Thursday, April 25th. Coming up, a new development along the Berkeley Riverfront in Kansas City is expected to take 10 years and cost hundreds of millions of dollars. We'll hear how Port KC and the Kansas City Current plan to transform the neighborhood. But first, some headlines. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly vetoed a bipartisan tax reform bill yesterday she says is not sustainable. Daniel Cottle of the Kansas News Service has more.
In her veto message, Kelly made a counteroffer that would cost the state about $90 million less per year. It keeps many key provisions from the other bill, like state property tax relief and eliminating the food sales tax, but it differs on income tax. The plan Kelly vetoed would have combined the state's three income tax brackets into two. Instead, she says she wants to keep the three brackets but lower all their rates. The bill had unanimous support in the House but needs more votes in the Senate if lawmakers hope to override the veto.
Missouri lawmakers have passed a bill that stops state funding from going to abortion providers or their affiliates. Sarah Kellogg reports the vote comes as abortion rights proponents are collecting signatures to put abortion on the ballot.
This means that Planned Parenthood locations in the state would not receive state reimbursements for services provided to Medicaid patients. Representative Carrie Engel referenced the current petition seeking to enshrine abortion rights in the Missouri Constitution and said the bill would be irrelevant come November.
It won't matter because women of this state are going to come in full force and demand their rights back from the body that stripped it of them.
The deadline to collect the necessary signatures to put the issue on the ballot is May 5th.
A Marine Corps veteran from Kansas has pleaded guilty for his part in the January 6th insurrection. KCUR's Sam Zeff has more.
Online court records say 44-year-old Chad Suenram pleaded guilty to entering a restricted building, a misdemeanor. Suenram originally faced four misdemeanor charges after being arrested in Hayesville, just south of Wichita. Charging documents say when Suenram entered the Capitol, he was wearing an American flag face mask and had an American flag painted on his head. Court records show he'll be sentenced in August and faces up to 6 months in jail and a $5,000 fine.
We'll be back after this.
This podcast is looking for good deals on great food, but sometimes we need to grab a bite late at night. What are some of your favorite late-night happy hours in the KC Metro? Text us at 816-601-4777. That's 816-601-4777. Standard texting rates apply.
On Monday, Port Authority Port KC and the Kansas City Current revealed renderings of a new neighborhood to be built around the Current's CPKC Stadium along the Berkeley Riverfront north of downtown. The three-phase project will span 10 years and represent an $800 million investment to transform the area. John Stevens is the CEO and president of Port KC. He told KCUR's Steve Kraske the first phase of the project is set to be done just in time for the World Cup in 2026.
Well, describe for us, if you would, for those who haven't seen the renderings, what this district will look like when it's finally done, John. Tell us about the kinds of amenities it's going to have.
Sure. So, you know, I think I have to start with there's been almost $400 million already invested and under construction currently. Between the streetcar, beer garden, new hotel, there's already almost 1,500 citizens living down there. You know, that's already happening. Then we wanted to weave in this truly transformative project. And thanks to Chris and Angie Long, KC Current, Marquee Development, and this partner, they're bringing a true walkable, complete streets neighborhood to the riverfront.
Wow.
So what you will see in the first phase is more than 400 new residential units surrounded by restaurants and shops, a town square. And then we will be moving, for the first time, moving these experiences closer to the river than ever before. We had such success that the north end of the stadium is only 50 feet from the shoreline. That's pretty remarkable. And people have responded saying, wow, I didn't know the river was right there. And it's, you know, it's amazing. And so we're going to
call the Missouri River, and Lewis and Clark actually went on it.
Yeah. 1804. Here it is.
Yeah.
But so we'll be moving, you know, buildings that way while we continue to reinvest in the green space in the park. That park is the central focus. We want it to be this walkable, vibrant place. And as a matter of fact, as part of this public-private partnership, you know, there will be all of this private development happening, but additionally, we'll be adding 2 new acres closer to the water than ever before. So people will be able to walk right up to the shoreline and sit and experience the river really for the first time for most people.
You know, you all have said that the vision for this new neighborhood is to be, to put it at pedestrian scale. When we talk about pedestrian scale, John, what are we talking about?
Sure. So when I say urban scale, it is creating these blended sidewalks, you know, outdoor patios, rooftop patios, really narrow streets with on-street parking.
The key word here, walkable, right?
Walkable.
That's what people want these days.
People want, another little fun fact is the opening match, the inaugural match, we had 4,000 people walk down the trails from the town of Kansas Bridge, walk down the, you know, sit under the trees and be a part of the experience. The bike racks, there were more than 400 bikes. It was full and overflowing. That's the kind of experience. And then with the streetcar under construction, we'll have a major terminus of the streetcar there. People will be able to ride from UMKC all the way to the riverfront.
I say, you mentioned the streetcar. Are there any other forms of transport that you're hoping that people will take full advantage of once this new district is up and hopping?
We're in the midst of working with our partners in the federal government on a separated rail grant to create a new bridge into Columbus Park in the east side. That will have bikeable, walkable, and vehicular transit. We're also working with our city partners on the Grand Viaduct to create a new bike pedestrian bridge there. And then finally, we're excited about, as the Buck O'Neill Bridge opens up, we'll be opening the levee all the way to the West Bottoms. And there's so much excitement happening in the West Bottoms that moving that will be exciting. And then we're actually working with the Corps of Engineers right now. Mm. And this is a real fun one. We're looking to add docks right there at the center of Berkeley Riverfront to actually have boats.
Wouldn't that be something? So you're working on a whole series of different levels here trying to make this thing work.
Yeah. When we say multimodal and we say public-private partnership, we mean that in the truest sense of the word. You know, we're a public agency. We're dedicated to maintaining this as a public space and leave it as a world-class public space for decades to come. The private investment, and this investment is almost exclusively private dollars coming into this. They share that vision. And so when we bring that together, we want volleyball and climbing and activities for the public that are free and open and accessible in this space. And then additionally, the development around becomes a place for people to live and work and play.
How environmentally friendly is all of this ultimately going to be?
We have already reduced carbon emissions. We replaced all of the lights in the park with low emissions, LED lighting, all of that sort of stuff. So, and we're currently in the midst of a massive tree addition and tree replacement plan and removing a lot of, you know, in decades past, people planted trees, but they didn't think about what was indigenous, what was native. So we're continuing to grow native plantings. We're bringing the goats back for the native trail areas. We bring goats in to clear them out instead of using any chemicals or any, you know, any herbicides.
No kidding.
And we're working with things like that. So in the stadium is LEED quality, so very environmentally friendly. And we're going to continue that investment throughout this project.
You know, John, affordable housing has also been mentioned as a priority here. How much of it do you expect there will be at the end of all three phases of this project?
We have a need in Kansas City for workforce housing, affordable housing, transitional housing, and not every project can solve all of that. But we did talk to a lot of people, and that 50% average median income level and fixing prices there. So 10% of the units will be set aside for 50% average median income.
What does that translate to a monthly rent these days, roughly?
It really depends, but you're talking less than $1,000 for, you know, for a smaller unit, which is in today's environment around the country, that's that is true workforce at this point.
You know, you're working closely, as you've mentioned, with Chris and Angie Long, two of the owners of the KC Current, you know, on all this. How did this partnership come together?
We were making announcements. And we had a meeting, and they said, you know, we just bought a team, and we're bringing this team to Kansas City, and we want it to be in the heart of our city. We want people to come from all four corners of our community, and we want it to be really something special. And wow, I don't know that any of us felt that it would evolve into something as special as it became, but thanks to their dedication and their commitment, and then this shared partnership, they've created something special there. And then as we started working through the construction, I mean, it became something of, well, let's do more. What does Kansas City deserve? That's really been almost the entire litmus test of this. And then at every step we said, and I believe Chris Long was the one that said this, he said, we can't just develop a great riverfront. This needs to be a world-class riverfront. I want the world to be looking to Kansas City and saying, here's how you do redevelopment for a community.
Right. You know, you've mentioned that so much of this is being privately funded. You could have secured public funding to do some of this. Why didn't that happen?
We've invested a lot of public funding, federal, state. We believed that those public dollars really need to be invested in the transportation, in the big pieces of infrastructure. And we will be, and we are seeking additional dollars in partnership for a lot of the public space growth and expansion. But to do that, you have to show progress. They put those private dollars in, and then our side of the bargain is we will make great public spaces and transportation networks that work.
That was KCUR's Steve Kraske speaking to John Stevens, CEO and president of Port KC. You can hear their entire conversation from KCUR's daily talk show, Up to Date, on Up to Date's podcast feed. This is Kansas City Today. I'm Nomi Nujiadeen. This podcast is produced by David McKeel and KCUR Studios. It's edited by Madeline Fox and Gabe Rosenberg. For more local news from Kansas City's NPR station, visit kcur.org. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow.
You listen to Kansas City Today every day because we're your local, reliable news source. You take us seriously. But now it's time to have some fun. Join us at our annual benefit, Radioactive, on June 14th. NPR's All Things Considered host Ari Shapiro is the featured guest at this party, and it's gonna be bumpin'. You gotta be there. Sponsorship packages and ticket information are available at kcur.org/radioactive.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.